Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Football tonight, our focus on the football teams at Jackson Memorial and Shore Regional. Guests from both those programs, including the head coaches, coming up a little bit later on. Of course, we'll have our weekly segment with Scott Stump, who will go in depth on tomorrow night's big showdown between the top two teams on the Shore Sports Network top 10, Red Bank Catholic and Manalapan. Kevin Callahan talks Monmouth University football as the Hawks make the trek out of town for their first Big South game of the season. And that's what we've got going on. As I say good evening to my partners, we are we're past the midway point of the season. And this past week was either week 6 or week 7. I'm still not sure, but it was one of those. And I don't know that it was an especially memorable one, but it did produce some interesting results, Coach Sarluka.
Yeah, well, everybody was looking at Middletown South and Manalapan, you know, top offense against one of the better defenses in the Shore. And Manalapan won it 21-3, basically shutting them out, which was a pretty good statement to make because everybody had said Manalapan's offense could put points on the board, but their defense not as tough. Well, they proved against a pretty good offensive team in the Eagles of Middletown South that they can play some defense also.
Statistically, a very even game. Penalties hurt Middletown South. They fumbled the ball 7 times, got most of them back, but obviously that hurt them as well. And against a team like Manalapan, too much. And by the way, the Braves were our Jersey Mike's team of the week for that outstanding performance. That match certainly sets them up for the showdown tomorrow night at RBC.
It does make things pretty interesting. You've got 6-0 against 6-0, and it should be a lot of fun tomorrow night, one would think, as those two teams get together. You know, I think one of the more impressive wins during the course of last weekend, and a team we haven't really talked a whole lot about, Southern Regional, was able to pull one off against Toms River South, 16-13. Big win for them to kind of keep alive any maybe outside shot they would have in the division if Brick was slipped up a couple of times to at least be alive, and certainly a good win for their state playoff chances as well.
A game, Ed, you were at, and the Rams threw the ball really effectively against Toms River South. That was a Saturday night game.
Yes, they did, and the other thing that impressed me was the way they defensed Tymere Burry. I mean, Burry did have 100 yards, but one of them was a long, run off of a scramble. And the Indians go as far as Tymere Burry takes them, you know. They shut down Kalia Green and Burry, like I said, 100 yards, but very under control. That's what impressed me, the way they played defense. And Southern can make some noise in that South Jersey Group 5 picture because that is not a good division this year. One more win will give them 4, and I think could get them in. 2 more will definitely get them in, and possibly even a home game.
And a bad loss for Toms River South, a team that had such high expectations, and now at the crunch part of their schedule, and including the game tomorrow night when they host Jackson Memorial, and we'll talk with the Jaguars momentarily, but a dangerous situation for South, a team that had such high expectations and could really watch their season spin out of control if they don't right the ship very quickly. Speaking of Class A South, Jackson with the win over Brick Memorial, I know we'll save that conversation, most of it, for when we're joined by the Jaguars, but that was a big win for them, a game that was decided very, very late. The game we did last week in a Class B South, 2 of the 5 teams at that time tied for the division lead. Barnegat, a win at Point Barrow, although I think we'd all agree the team in that division playing the best football right now is Central Regional.
Yeah, and they've been maybe the biggest surprise of that division for sure. You know, if you thought about it going in, a lot of people thought Barnegat would be good. Obviously, Lakewood right behind them. Jackson Liberty was able to really turn their season around. We talked about that a little bit last week, but I don't think anyone was expecting anything out of Central Regional. And that 5-team race has now essentially become a 4-team race because there's those 4 teams, Barnegat, Central, Jackson, Liberty, Eastern, and Lakewood all at 4-1 within the division. Still going to be a lot of exciting games coming down the stretch in B-South.
Yeah, the other team I'd like to mention is Rumson. I went to Manasquan and saw the Rumson-Manasquan game. The return of Charlie Volker, last year's Offensive Player of the Year, came back with a flurry of yards, 30 carries, 270 yards or so, three touchdowns. I mean, he was very, very tough. No signs. Before the game, we asked Coach Batchelor, give me a percentage. He said 85-90%, you know, for Charlie. Well, he certainly looked like about 140% to me because he was tough.
Volker showed why he was the Shore Sports Network Offensive Player of the Year last year, last week for sure. A couple of quick hitters. Asbury Parks collected their first win of the season for their first-year head coach, Bill Hill, who's previously been a head coach at Toms River South. So congratulations to them. And
almost Colts Neck. When got off to a 14-0 lead against Neptune in a game they probably on paper should not have even been in, and ended up losing in overtime by a field goal. So they're still looking for win
and
number one.
And this week, Matt, not on the field but somewhere else, a team that was winless got a win, and a team that had one win is now winless, and that is Pinelands Regional awarded a forfeit victory over Donovan Catholic. They played in week zero. On the scoreboard, it was a 10-7 Donovan Catholic win, but this past week it was officially announced that the Griffins have to forfeit that game because they used a player who was not cleared to play in the game. So subsequently, Pinelands gets a win, and Donovan Catholic now winless.
Unfortunate, but I think everyone knew it was coming at some point. So if you're Pinelands, you're kind of waiting for that one to kind of turn around. And hard luck for Donovan. You know, now you go from at least having that one moment to have it basically snatched away from you, and not many games left to try and figure out if you can get a win.
No, an easy one tomorrow night when they go to St. John Vianney.
Six and oh.
The Shore Sports Network top ten this week: Red Bank Catholic and Manalapan, both 6-0, or 1-2 as we might expect. 6-0 St. John Vianney is in the third spot. Long Branch with a 5-1 record is ranked fourth. 4-2 Middletown South is fifth. I think we'd have to say the biggest surprise team of the season, 6-0 Freehold, occupies the sixth spot. Brick with a record of 5-1 is seventh. Jackson Memorial 5-1 is eighth, just ahead of Brick Memorial, who's 4-2. And rounding out the top ten is Rumson with a 3-2 record.
I got one for you guys real quick before we break. What do you do with the loser of tomorrow's Manalapan RBC game? Do you drop them below two, or do you wait and let it play out and see what kind of game it is?
Go ahead.
Tough one.
I think you have to wait and see what kind of game it is. I mean, if one team, one way or the other, had a blowout win, the team that suffered the loss, they'd probably drop. I mean, then you have to assume everyone underneath them is probably going to win. But if it's a tight game, you could make the argument certainly that no more than a spot the loser would drop the finish.
Honestly, I don't drop the loser at all.
Yeah,
because
number one,
I think whoever loses that game would still beat anyone else in the top ten and would be favored to beat anyone else in the top ten. And I kind of felt that way, just real quick, in that I know you're a big Notre Dame fan. I'll be honest, I didn't think Notre Dame should have dropped anything. They went to Florida State last week, could have easily won the game, a controversial call at the end. Why would they drop? They weren't supposed to win the game. It was at Florida State. To me, Why do you have to drop when you lose?
You don't.
You know?
No, you don't.
Well, I look at Bricktown. Look how the tumble they took. Although it was a winless wall team,
That's a different loss.
I agree.
Yeah, no, that's apples and oranges. But we will see. But clearly, that's a heavyweight matchup tomorrow night, and one that people have been looking forward to for quite some time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our first spotlight of the evening will be on the Jaguars of Jackson Memorial, having an outstanding season under their fourth-year coach and Matt Harmon's former teammate.
At Monmouth University.
We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shores Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Certainly one of the better teams so far this season has been the Jaguars of Jackson Memorial. They'll go into tomorrow night's game against Tom's River South at Detweiler Stadium, our game of the week, with a 5-1 record, and good enough to give us some time here on the Thursday night show. Fourth-year head coach Walker Stopik and senior linebacker Zach Tetro. Guys, thanks for making the journey across and down a little bit. Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Thank you for having us here.
Walt, let's start it off with you. You know, you think about the way that this season has unfolded a little bit. That one blip on the screen is that overtime loss to Brick Township. But other than that, I mean, you have to be pretty happy with the way that the year has gone. 5-1 and some dominant wins amongst those five.
Exactly. You know, we're pretty proud of our kids, the way they're playing right now. They're showing up, playing every week hard. You know, we have really had to dig one out against, last week against Brick Memorial. They got up with us by two scores. You know, they just showed their toughness to be able to come back and dig a big, tough victory out.
Zach, one of those games, you know, as Coach just referenced, the Brick Memorial one, because some of those wins have been on the easy side. You know, the loss, obviously, I know, difficult, and the game went all the way down to the wire. But other than that, you know, Jackson, Liberty, Lacey, Southern, and Tom's River North, all kind of blowout wins. Was there any moment last week in that game where you guys got down a little bit early that there was any sort of panic or worry on the sideline at all?
Not too much. You know, our head quarterback, he likes to keep us up, keep our heads up, and make sure we keep going through every play. You know, it's a Brick team. Brick Township, Brick Memorial, both of them, they're hard-hitting teams. They're going to smack you in the mouth, so we just had to keep riding it out.
Zach, you had the big play in last week's game when you picked up the fumble. I saw the highlight play where you blew up the option. I'm not sure who it was. Who was right in front of you? You came in to reap the rewards and scoop up and score from about 5 or 6 yards, but who blew up the option on that play?
That was Glenn Capella. He hit the quarterback. The ball ended up bouncing off my face mask.
Oh, okay.
Took a couple seconds. I had to find it. Wanted to make sure I got it up on the first try. And
that was an easy one for you, and the game winner for sure. In a game, you know, if you looked at it statistically, it wasn't as close as the score, but, you know, sometimes it's not statistics that win games, right, Coach?
Exactly. If you don't put in the end zone, it doesn't matter how many yards you have.
Exactly. The running back situation this year, it's sort of been running back by committee. Last year was all Connie Glover, okay? I mean, I know you had some bits and pieces, but this year you just keep shuttling in backs, one speed back after another, and now you've added Matt Castronova to the mix. And who do you defend on this Jaguar team?
I think this might be the most talent we've had in the backfield since 2005, when we had John Reggio, Mark Chavone, Joe Arnett, Eddie Duncan, Bobby Cole, and all those guys. And it's the same type of situation we had back there. You know, any one of the guys that we could give the ball to could take it to the house on any given play.
Zach, you know, if we talk about the offense for just a second, Jackson has always been really known as a hard-hitting defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And within A-South, the conference that you guys play, I mean, one thing that's always been proven year in and year out is that there are no easy games. And if you've got a good defense, as Jackson has yet again this year, you're going to be in a lot of football games.
Easily. They can't score, they can't win. That's the whole point of defense, period. They can't score, they can't win.
How about when you look at the schedule, you know, you guys are kind of right in the thick of it. Tough stretch, and every game is a tough stretch week in and week out. Before the game, a lot of people would have said this matchup against Tom's River South would have been one of the highlights of the A-South schedule, and it is yet again. You know, they've got that high-powered offense against, again, what you guys have again this season, which is a solid defense, but with the offense thrown in there a little bit. When you look at Tom's River South and watch them on film, what is it that you see?
It's just another Tom's River team, just another any other football team. You got to prepare. It's not any different. I mean, Tamir Berry, yes, he got moves, but he's going to be our main focus, stopping him, keeping him inside the pocket, and that's what we're going to try to do.
You know, Walt, as Tom's River South kind of had a rough one last week against Southern Regional, we talked about in our opening segment that Southern Regional actually did a better job defending them than a lot of other teams do. As you watch the game film and go and scout, are you looking a little bit as to what other teams might do in defending a player like that, or are you more just saying we're going to stay within what we feel like we do, but, you know, every once in a while you might be able to pick something up from somebody else?
Exactly. You know, you see something that works, you're going to incorporate it into your game plan and into what you do. You know, Southern Regional has always done a very good job defensively.
Zach, you were part of a pretty dynamic linebacking crew last year with Vinny Celandonio and Kenny Bradley. Mm-hmm. You played alongside of those guys, who both of them were great, and you chipped in very well to lead that defense. This year, you're the leader at that spot. How did you handle that going in?
It just came to me, you know. Kenny and Vinny leaving, they taught me well, so it was just pretty easy, you know, taking
so
over for
you
them.
Had to step up, right?
Pretty much, but it wasn't that big of a worry, you know, because I got kids right next, left and right of me.
Right.
Cole Collins, they'll help me out every play. Dante Davis, he'll be right there, you know.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Cole Collins. He seems to have really stepped up on both sides of the ball, right, Coach?
Yeah,
he's playing a little fullback, right?
Yes, exactly. We asked him to make a position change, and you know, he jumped right at the opportunity. He was a tackle for us last year, but you know, he's an athletic tackle. He's 6'2", 220 pounds. You know, he's a big physical kid. Stepped right in for us where Celedonio and Kenny Bradley were last year. We got a big spot, you know, not just on our defense from Bradley leaving, but also on offensively as a fullback. And he stepped into both of those roles and has done a very good job for us.
You know, I talked a little bit about the running back situation with Vinny Lee and Curitt, right, and Gawlick and Castronova. But it takes the big guys up front to make that work. You know, and this year you came in, you know, it always seems like Jackson has that big physical offensive line. This year you've got a little experience, three guys returned, you got some strength, they're all strong, and they're quick. Tell us a little bit and mention some of those guys up front.
Well, I would even throw in our tight end, Brody Graham, and he's
yep.
just like having another offensive tackle out there playing tight end. You know, a kid that's 6'3", 250 pounds going into the season, right tackle. Our tackles are Brad Greenway and Dylan Smith. I mean, we had to make room for him. You know, when we moved Collins back, he stepped right in as a first-year starter this year and has done a great job for us. You know, with our two guards with Tyler Roush and Glenn Capilla and our center, Ryan Frazier, done a great job. You know, and it started right after the end of last year. There was no time off. You know, they went right into the weight room and did what they had to do to get themselves ready for this year. And it's really showing right now.
Ed. Walt Kristopic here with us, and Zach Tetro talks some Jackson Memorial football. The Jags will be part of our game of the week on Friday night, tomorrow night at Detweiler Stadium, taking on the Indians of Tom's River South. Part of a crazy A-South race yet again, being paced by Brick at 5-0. Jackson right now in the second spot at 4-1. Brick Memorial, Tom's River North at 3-2. Zach, you know what? As a player, I find it interesting always to, and we in the media do this a lot, you guys lose that tough, kind of heartbreaking game against Brick. You come back the next week, and there were probably some people who said, well, what's the carryover going to be? How do you guys turn the page from that loss to then go in and really kind of whip up on Tom's River North a little bit?
You know, you got to have a short memory. Come back, bounce back off a loss, and just go back to your roots, start playing hard football, and Jackson football is all about that.
It's a great answer, Coach, isn't it?
That's the answer.
You got to have a short memory, that's for sure. You know, we can't go without talking a little bit about the playoffs. I know you don't want to hear about it. You want to talk Tom's River South, but our job in this job is to look ahead a little bit, you know. I like the scrimmage you picked up right before the playoffs, you know, RBC. Are you somewhat looking forward to that one? I know you got a couple before that, but Zach, what do you think? A chance to play the top dogs. You know, you got to think about it a little bit, right?
Can't hurt us, you know.
Yeah.
Preparing us for the playoffs.
Exactly.
You know, we're
going
to see some good kids on the field. And just like I said, it's going to prepare us.
And the other thing is a chance at maybe another shot at the Dragons down the line. I'm sure that's...
He's already shaking his head. So.
Yeah, so that's a good enough answer for me.
We are
video streamed, so everybody saw that.
He's going to get elbowed by his head coach in a second not to do that. But it is hard. And, Walt, you were obviously a player, you know, at Jackson and then at Monmouth, so you know what it's about. You're not that far removed from it. You're looking forward to opportunities like playing against a Red Bank Catholic where maybe in terms of things counting or not counting at that particular point of the season, it could if you win, and if you lost, it's no real skin off of anybody's back with the state stuff. And the information is so accessible today to players like Zach and everyone else. They know that right now Brick is the two team in Central Jersey Group 4, and you guys are the one team, and I'm sure they're very much looking forward to an opportunity to rematch. How do you keep everybody focused?
I think, you know, for the kids, they want to play the best teams that they're out there. You want to play teams like RBC. You want to play Brick. you want to play Thompson North and all those types of teams. So it's easy to get them up and keep them focused and keep them doing the right things, get watching their film, putting the time in the weight room, get themselves ready for them.
You know, I was kind of intrigued by the way that your schedule was done this year. Maybe it just kind of fell that particular way. You open with two on the road, then you get three in a row at home, which is kind of rare, and then three in a row, which you're in the middle of right now on the road, and then one more game against RBC at home before I'm sure you'll likely have at least a game or two at home in the playoffs if you're able to, you know, win those games. Is it hard getting Zach into kind of a routine? You know, usually it's maybe two and then one, and then two somewhere down the road. But right now, three at home, you guys were probably, it was probably great. You could just kind of kick back and, you know everyone's going to show up, and then you're kind of removed from everything for almost a month.
Can't get too comfortable. Oh, well, Ben.
Go ahead.
I think, you know, more the Saturday games, you know, the late Saturday games that we had, that kind of like throws off your preparation week a little bit. You know, trying to get back to more Friday games, it's a little bit easier to get, so you're on the same routine every week to get the kids focused.
Zach, how about for you as a player?
With those Saturday games, you know, it pushes to a five-day practice week, and then right after that, it's down to three. You know, so it's a big jump. You can't get too comfortable.
How's this week gone, Coach? I mean, lousy weather. I don't know if you got outside. I mean, do you have an indoor facility? I know the gyms at Jackson are not real big. How'd you handle this week in practice?
We were able to get onto the turf field at the Justice Complex in Jackson, so, you know, the weather held off. You know, it was a lot light drizzle in Jackson, so we had two good practices and feel like we're ready.
Yeah, that feels pretty nice there. I know you usually always have a 7-on-7, right, in the summer down there and invite quite a few teams down there. It's a nice complex. It's good to have.
Zach, you know, talking about information kind of kicking around and how easy it is for what you guys can access, and I'm sitting here in front of my computer too. Do you now basically hope and become a fan of everyone in A-South that might have to play Brick down the road so that maybe there's a chance that you guys can have those back-to-back A-South championships?
Pretty much. You know, a lose for Brick is a win for Jackson, basically. That's how I see it. Having lost to Brick, it was just put us down a little bit, but watching other teams play them, especially Wall coming up with a big win, that spoke to us a bit.
Yeah, and they've got some tough ones coming up. They'll have Toms River North in a couple of weeks and Toms River South to wrap things up. So no gimmies there either. Walt, our connection, you and I have known each other for a long time, going all the way back to 1993. I think we'd be remiss because it's part of our Thursday night show. How much do you still pay attention to what's going on up in West Long Branch with Monmouth?
We have you know, a couple players up there. You know, Demetrius Smith is up there. You always talk to him. You know, send him a couple text messages. You know, keep the good work up. You know, really proud of the job that he's done up there.
It's a long time since 1993. You know, to think just how far the program's come. They're at full scholarship football, basically at the FCS level. Start Big South play. Probably 22 years ago. I know I couldn't, and I would imagine you wouldn't have imagined either.
I'm sure you still remember walking into that little trailer that he had outside the gymnasium.
That's right.
Yeah,
here we go.
The office building.
Yeah.
And you know what he's doing tomorrow at 6 a.m.? He's getting on a chartered airplane and flying to a football game. So things have changed a little bit in 20 years.
I still remember staying over at Albright, and there's cockroaches on the floor.
So
the place we stayed at early on, we're too good.
Absolutely. Zach, for you, you're a senior. What are your plans after the season? Are you thinking that you might want to continue football at the collegiate level?
Oh, easily. I would love to play college football, but not really paying attention that much, not really getting much recognition, and not really too worried, so just trying to go out with the season, finish strong, and then I'll start worrying about that.
Well, big one obviously coming up tomorrow night, Jackson and Toms River South at the home of the Indians, always one of the better places to play around the area. Guys, we appreciate you coming down here. Wish you the best of luck, not just tomorrow night, for the rest of the season. We'll see you tomorrow night, and very likely we could see you somewhere down the line in the playoff picture. Continued success for both of you.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for much.
That is Walker Stopik and Zach Tetro, part of the Jackson Jaguar program. The Jags again tomorrow night on the air against the Indians of Toms River South. We'll step out here, take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kevin will take my spot and join Ed. We'll talk some Shore regional football here on our Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back. Good to have you along on this Thursday night. Good NFL game tonight. Broncos and Chargers in Denver. Thursday night games have been a dog most of this season, but this one looks pretty good on paper. looking good on paper and on the field all the time are the Blue Devils of Shore Regional, as we are joined by their veteran head coach, Mark Costantino, along with their outstanding senior linebacker and offensive lineman, James Bedell. We welcome them to the show. Guys, thanks so much for coming down tonight and making the trip from Monmouth County.
Thanks for having us.
Jamie, thank you.
Kaz, always a pleasure to see you. And, Coach, I will start with you in your 23rd season. An incredible run with the Blue Devils, a record of 146-85-1, a couple of state championships, coming off another outstanding season a year ago at 10-2, and off to a good start this year at 4-1, most importantly at 3-0 in B Central. And how do you maintain the drive and the enthusiasm after all these years? And I love asking a guy like you who's been around with it, is it as much fun for you as it was a decade or two decades ago?
It's more fun. I really appreciate it. I know it's going to come to an end someday. I never know when, but, you know, I appreciate it more and more. Guys like James make it so much easier for me because we just love being at practice with these guys. My coaching staff's been with me forever, and we're all friends. So we go to how much fun is a frat? Like
a lot of fun.
I'm like, we gotta stop laughing. We have to do some work here. Like if I give him a water break, all they do is they play their games. They hit the goalpost, and he's throwing things. So I love it. I don't know. I just love it. You know.
Well, the W's certainly don't hurt.
That
you know,
hurt.
146 of them for you in your career. That's a pretty big number. You know, a lot of good assistant coaches and a lot of good players along the line.
That makes it the players are the key, and the coaches will have the same philosophy. And again, we work hard. I'm at practice, and we have our things, and I turn my back. They do their job, and I don't even worry about our game plan.
How about some of your assistants? How long have some of them
been
with
you? Well, Mike Whitaker, right there, he played at Shore. He's an All-State lineman. He's been with me all 23 years. His first year, he was a freshman, and when I got the job, I bought him as an O-line coach. He's been with me 23 years. Pete Pincelli and John Remedios, who were All-State players for me in the 90s, they've been with me now probably 10 years, and they're teachers all. Bob Biazzi's ex-Long Branch coach, he's been with me about 5 or 6 years. Jack Levy, our athletic director, Long Branch coach, he retired, and we're all best friends. And I said, why don't you just be a volunteer coach? So he volunteer coaches. You know, who else for us? I think that's it. And then the freshman is Joe Rankin, has a great job. Marty Maloney. And Chris Riley volunteers.
Yeah, too.
You know, Kev, when players that you coached come back and coach for you, you know you've done a pretty good job because, that you know, a lot of times they had enough of you, you know. But in this case, you know, players that played for Kaz come back to coach. So
yeah, we have four or five people on the staff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that helps perpetuate the tradition of the program. You and I were chatting before we went on about how important it is to maintain that tradition, and you've been able to do that for a long time.
Well, thank you. We talk about it all the time at practice. James wants to leave his mark, and all the other players, they talk about it. I tell them old stories about championship games, won or lost, or kids that did certain things in games, and they eat it up, and they're doing it. I'll be talking about these guys in a few years.
Yep.
You know, it's great.
Well, big coming off a big win last weekend
in
conference. I mean, the way your schedule is set up, your two big division games sort of, you know, you had Modern Day Prep last week. You have Point Beach coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. But that looked like one of those old-time Shore Regional games. I mean, you've been really built on defense. It's been the foundation of your success. So let's start with this guy because I know you're an O-lineman, and we'll talk a little about that, but I got to believe that linebacker is what you really like, delivering the blows, and you really shut down what's been an explosive team at times last weekend.
Yeah, it was last week. We knew coming in they had a huge offense, averaging like 40 points a game. We just knew we had to shut down the receivers, contain their quarterback, and then just score enough points to win. That's exactly what we did.
Just kind of hung in there and made it a competitive game. You've only given up 36 points in five games. That's seven a game, so the defense really has been terrific.
They're really proud of our defense. We're working hard, kind of like a bend-don't-break mentality right now. Like, we'll give them a few first downs, but we'll find a way to stop them. Like, don't let them in the end zone.
What is the defensive philosophy? Are you aggressive? Do you guys blitz a lot? What kind of tell us a little bit about that.
We are aggressive, but, like, we like to trust our, like, front four D linemen to get to the quarterback if they're passing it. We'll blitz Doug Goldsmith a lot, blitz myself, but we'll also drop back into coverage. Like, I have two interceptions last year. We had a lot of picks, so just hard-nosed football.
You know, old traditional offenses and defenses, 4-4 defense. You know, it's what I ran when I coached. I loved it. You know, I love teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams have gone to the pro type 4-3s and the 3-3-5.
Yeah.
You know, all these gimmick defenses. You've stayed with the 4-4. It's something you love. And offensively, the wing tee.
The wing tee is the way to be. But we're, you know, we'll do a little. We'll play with the wing tee with our personnel. But we're going to run power belly. That's our system. Defensively, we are 4-4. We have evolved to a 3-4 front because of the spread stuff.
Okay.
We do a lot of 3-4. We did last week. We caught our 50. And we have work. It's more work in the preseason, but it's worth it when you face a team like Modern Day, who, if you sat in a 4-4, would probably eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that anymore. High school offenses are too good. So in the 3-4, even our 4-4, we'll check to a 4-3. We'll do a bunch of things, and he's so smart. This guy here, because he's a coach in the field, they see it, look, they change, boom, 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 and we'll say, okay, this, if they're in this, you have these two options, and sometimes I don't even know what they're going to jump into, whether it's a zone or a man, but they have the option.
Zach, you got one of your key players back last week in Doug Goldsmith. What did that mean to the Devils?
That meant so much for us, not only offensively but defensively. He came in, ran the ball, I think, 26 times for 140 yards. That was huge for us, really jumpstart our offense. And defensively, he made a bunch of tackles. He got his rest on defense a little bit, getting his game condition back, but it was just huge to have him back. He just made everyone a lot more confident.
Did he hit the whirlpool after the game? He must, right?
Yeah, he was
not
pretty sore.
He was pretty sore.
He got some treatment, definitely.
Talking with James Bedell and Mark Costantino from Shore Regional High School. The Blue Devils, as we said, 4-1. Back in action tomorrow. They will be home against South River, and obviously a non-conference game. Then the following Friday, the big one against Point Pleasant Beach, also home, and still to come Asbury Park and Rumson. And in between that, we'll have state playoff games for sure. James, I'd be remiss, and Coach Koz and I, we talked a little bit about it, but as a senior, I have to believe that there was a little extra motivation this year. The heartbreaking loss last year in the state final to a Point Beach team that you had just beaten for the division title. We always talk about rematches and how difficult sometimes that is. But you came up short that first weekend in December. And I'm wondering how much that's been a motivating thing, especially for you and your fellow seniors.
Yeah, last year losing to Point Beach, losing the state championship game really like upset us a lot. Coming out this year, even the other classmen understood, like, this is the seniors last year, like, even like as juniors and sophomores, like, they know to come out, play the hardest, because, like, one day they're not going to be able to play anymore.
You know, I got to remind our listeners that this is a team that has made the playoffs 18 times. They've been in the finals 10, and they've won 5 state championships. Not too shabby.
Yeah, we're proud of our tradition. Like, we talk about it all the time. But I know from my end, losing that game last year, and the year before in double overtime, my son's senior year, sometimes I can't get out of my head. My wife thinks there's something wrong with me. And I just watch.
Well, we know that's true.
I know.
You're a football coach, so right off the bat.
I know. Something's
the
wrong.
Wives never get it. They never get it.
But I watch film. Like, I was watching film. You know, I already broke down Point Beach's whole season already. So it's just me. I'm a defensive guy. But it's just something I love to do. It's a hobby. It's whatever. It's part of your life. But it was upsetting last year, but again, they're good guys. I'm friends with the coaches and staff, and I was happy for them. Even though we lost, I said, I'm happy that a Shore Conference team won it. You guys earned it. You beat us today. Good job. And that was it.
You know? James, it just always seems to come down to Shore and Point Beach. You know, every year in this division, in the States, you know, you throw in South River every now and then, you know. But it always comes down to you two guys. You like it that way?
I do like it that way. It just
especially
makes it
if
exciting.
You're one of them, right? If you're one of those teams.
Absolutely. Come down to, like, end of the year, big games,
right.
Championship games. Like, we live for it. Last year, we were able to get them in the division game. Clearly lost the next one, but it's still fun. It's always fun to play them. Hard-nosed football, both basically the same team. Just love to run the ball. Great defense, so it's always a fun game.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, Coach, we always ask you this every year because you come down every year, you know? The lack of respect in the top 10 polls and things like that. Give me your opinion on that, and I'm going to ask James the same thing.
Without being too whatever, I know there's bigger schools and that, but you know what? We scrimmage bigger schools, and we dominate them. And I'm not saying we can handle their schedule week in, week out, but you put us in a parking lot with any of the schools, we're going to hang with them. And it's going to be a tussle because we know we hit. We know we play a great D, and our special teams is you can't beat our special teams. So you take that into account what we do as a small school. And like I said last year to a few people when it came to the offshore, I go, get over the zip code. Don't worry about the zip code. Worry about what happens at our place every year. But I get it. There's bigger schools and whatnot. So We're like always the 12th team. I always say we're always ranked 12th.
Maybe 11.
Yeah, yeah. Like only put 10 in the paper.
But I guess part of the feeling is that you really have to lobby for your kids more than anything
right,
else. Your
right.
biggest
yeah.
concern is that if you have kids that you believe should be honored, you want to do all you can to make sure they earn get their spot.
And we talked about that. I said, the best thing you do is keep winning. When
yeah.
you win games, you're going to make the postseason. Like last week, we played a very good Mara Day team, and we, James included, had a number of kids had unbelievable games,
yeah.
and the press was there. So that
yeah.
that plays a lot into it. So,
yeah,
James, a little disappointed that the turf didn't go in this year,
yeah.
right? You're getting turf on your field, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They postponed it a year.
A little disappointed, but like I just love our field because it's kept so great, and it's never like a bad field. So
yeah.
turf is fun, but turf burn.
Yeah, little pellets.
Yeah.
Now, Ed, as you know, Coach Sarluga, that James is an offensive lineman as well, plays both ways. But you probably didn't know what his specialty is, which I just found out in a little before we came on.
Go ahead.
He is an Coach Koz swears he's an outstanding, tremendous long snapper.
Yeah.
And yeah. and actually,
give him some names.
Well, we talked about Clark Harris.
There you go.
Yeah. The former Southern Regional tight end who's made a long career in the NFL as a long snapper. I don't think he's played a down.
Nope, never.
But James has said that some schools are talking to him about that, right? Talk a little bit about that, some of the schools maybe.
Absolutely, just a bunch of like D1 singles really looking at me. Virginia, Rutgers, or a few just looking at me for like pure long snap. And then a couple other smaller schools doing a... both linebacker and long snapper, but like they just really like how I can snap it like a rifle it back there, but then not only just like go down and make the tackle and make the punter.
So let me ask you this, and I know at this point there's a long way to go, but do you have a thought in your mind that what you'd rather do, that maybe go to a bigger program as a long snapper, where in some cases you might have to be a preferred walk-on, or go to a school that wants you to play every down?
Really depends on the school, the environment, so it just comes down to that, like the education. So when the time comes to make a decision, I'll decide then. So
what would you likely major in? Do you know what you want to major in?
I think I want to be a teacher and come back coach ashore.
All right, do you want to? Sorry, are you going to come back and work with Koz, or do you want to take his job?
A little bit of both, maybe.
maybe one or two years
line.
As an assistant, then
yeah.
we push him out.
Yeah,
you
get in line.
Let's talk a little bit about South River. This is the traditional power.
Yes.
Down a little bit this year, but always dangerous, right?
They're a very good team. We respect South River. They've won 9 state championships. Coach Marchese has been there close to 30 years. They suffered a tremendous blow this year in preseason. Their star runner broke his leg. He's a tremendous player. What's his last name?
I think Doug Ryan.
Ryan. He's a stud, and so that really hurt them.
Sure.
And in spite of it all, they still have 2 wins. They're playing tough. They say they're playing like many young kids, and that's happening. So we just got to go take care of business tomorrow and don't worry about Point Beach. It's 13 points there on the table for the power points, so that's what we're going for.
You know, the Rams, right?
Yes.
The Rams. You know, quick story, when Toms River East opened in 79, our schedule was all over the state.
And they were good.
One of the teams we played was South River. And this is a team, Kevin, you know, Joe Theismann, right? The receiver.
Kenny Jack.
I mean,
they beat Shore in the finals that year.
Exactly.
Really?
Some tremendous.
Yes, that was the year
players North, yeah.
at a small school like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They were, or 78, they beat Shore. 78, but they were loaded. Like
yeah, in 79, they beat Tom River East.
Yeah. yeah, they didn't lose many games back then.
No, they did not.
We respect South River, the Rams. We know them. We've actually crossed over with them now 4 or 5 years in a row.
Right.
So I thought we would not get them this cycle, you know, because I like playing different teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to mix it up. But so we know what they do. They know what we do. So we're going to go get them.
If you had your preference, would you like to play maybe a game or two more against bigger Shore Conference schools? Or is that the case of those schools are not going to risk playing a Group 1 for the power points? What do you think?
It's a little of both because I've done both. I've had it where we had to play the Neptunes, and we beat them. We had in recent years. We had to play, you know, Mansquan and play them tough and lose by a point. You know,
yeah.
It's tough because our league is – Asbury had the run for a while, those teams. So I go back and forth. I like what's happening now. I like crossing over just because I don't think we get banged up as much. And when you start playing the bigger schools, even not that much, but you lose one or two kids. Like this year, we were so injured. We're finally getting healthy now. Like we it makes a huge difference in most teams, especially for a small school.
Yeah, that's the difference. When you're a small school, how many do you dress, Coach?
We have about 45 kids.
Okay, so when you're dressing 45 kids, it's not like Manalapan who comes on the field with 90 kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
10, 11, and 12.
It's a war of attrition.
It's a big difference, you know. You lose two or three. You lose a Goldsmith, you know, for the first five games. Right. It's going to hurt you.
It really did.
Other kids have to step up. Sometimes you find players like that.
Well, that's what happens. It's an opportunity.
Exactly.
And kids get reps, and we talk about it all the time, and some of the young kids really got so much better. But, you know, a kid like Doug's hard to replace. You know, Jack Britton's been out all year, started last year. We might get him back in the end. Hopefully we'll get Jake Montero back for Beach just to kick. But he's our best outside linebacker. He's an animal. So, you know, we had so many kids out for a while. It was great. We were just patching kids, you know. So.
And now you still play a game on Thanksgiving weekend. You play Rumson. You're playing on Wednesday night. Do you like playing that weekend? Or, you know, a lot of schools are going to the nine straight and not playing that weekend.
I like it.
You
Here's
do.
Why. We've gone back and forth. We used to play Monmouth Regional back when that game kind of went south. Then we didn't have a game for a long time because back when they said, the NJSA said, we're going to do well to the 90s. They didn't do it. Then we couldn't find the game. Then we were the only short conference school that had to go find the game. So then we picked up Point Beach late 90s, good four-year run, and they jumped to Borough. So we didn't have anything. So then we finally got Beach again. It was good, but then with us both being good and what happened last year, like, let's
back to backs.
So we always want Rumson. I always want them. They were stuck with RBC. RBC's been crushing them. Now, when RBC is not in the league anymore, I'm talking faster, but we said we jumped on it. Hey, let's make the move. They have a new superintendent, new principal, new coach, new AD. It was time, and they're all for it. So we said, let's go with it. We're making a special trophy for the game. We're going to present it. We put a little competition for the name. We came out with the name Devil Dog Ball, and spelled dog D-A-W-G. Keep it light, and the trophy's being made, and that's our big rival. We're really excited because no matter what happens this season. I know we've had a great run lately, going to finals. Whatever happens, we still have them. Like, if you lose first round of playoffs, we still have this monster game on Thanksgiving, on Wednesday night. And you watch. If this game lasts, it'll become the biggest game of Thanksgiving. It'll be one of the biggest games of Thanksgiving.
Hold on now.
Telling you right now.
No. I agree with that. But I'm going back to Devil Dog. Who thought of that?
One of my, like, my fourth-string wide receiver.
That's a great,
I said
that's
to
a
him,
great tradition. That's
I know. I asked all the parents, and they're all talking at the fundraiser. And then there's one kid, he's real smart, Sweeney, and he goes, Sweeney. He goes, God, maybe he's like the eighth-string wide receiver, but he's a great kid. And his dad makes great homemade wine. Anyway, so he goes, how about Devil Dog Ball? I'm like, we're at practice. I'm like, that's not bad. I'll get back to you. I have to work on this defensive problem. And then we start thinking about Rumson. I called the Rumson coach because I go, if you don't like it, we won't do it.
Right.
I love it unless you have something better. He kept thinking, no. I said, well, I can get the trophy made. I talked to Brian all the time. He's a good guy. He said, yeah, it'd be great. So we're going to have a nice trophy made. The school keeps it. And, you know, it's pretty cool.
I do like one thing, and while I'm not a proponent of the Thanksgiving Day football, if you're going to play that game, I think playing it on Thanksgiving Eve is the home run, because then you still have Thanksgiving Day with your family and wherever you have to go, and if you have to travel, and you can still do that. So you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Get a huge crowd.
And if you're in the finals, you get the extra two or three days. Many schools postpone their games to the Friday and Saturday.
Brian asked me that the other day. He texted me. We played Rumson in the finals in the Pop Warner. We beat them. By the way, we beat them both games, our AYF teams. That's too bad for them. Anyway, he's at the game. He texted me. I said, we're going Wednesday night. He said, great. Because he plans on being in the finals. We plan on being in the finals.
Yep.
Just play Friday night, the playoff game. Come in Saturday, Sunday. Let's go. We'll be ready for Wednesday. We know each other.
Yeah. James, is he as animated on the practice field as he is tonight? Is he still like that? Like the Energizer Bunny over here?
He's even more animated in practice. He's jumping around, like finding kids in the back that are still talking, telling them to be quiet. It's a great environment.
It's like having another kid. It's, you know, I mean, like, is he your coach or is he a teammate here?
No, it's both.
A little bit of both sometimes.
We have one.
Now, we also can't leave without mentioning your principal and ex-football player. I'm sure he meets with you once a week and goes over, gives me his opinion. Vinny Delacardillo.
They have a Board of Ed meeting. He couldn't make it.
I know. He looked
And Tommy Farrell comes out to practice.
So you've got some football guys.
Harry Spookins, our AD.
There you go.
They're
Red Bank coach, right?
Yeah, so they cut the practice, and we just laughed.
Every once in a while, they throw a play under your
door. Tom Farrell does. And I remind him, what was your record? What was my record? You know, and then he walks away. You know, but no, it's great. He actually gave us a play last year before the finals. He goes, I used to run this play called Judas. It's a double cross. We ran it. We scored in the finals. We put it in the day before in the gym.
And
we scored.
Did it work? You scored.
We scored.
Oh.
Our only touchdown.
Then you got to take his advice.
I have to now. He's the king.
But I would think for you as a football coach, having administrators who support the sport,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to guys who deal with those who are anti, has got to be a huge advantage.
It's huge because you understand the challenges outside of the football field with certain kids and all that. That whole the other end of it with yeah. our school, our whole area. Everybody's behind it, so it helps in that regards too. Where the kid. Whatever, they'll help you out, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll talk to the kid, take him aside. And they're great guys. So.
Exactly. It's also a situation where, somebody screws up a little bit in school.
You don't hang them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He goes right to the coach. Guys like that who understand, who've been in that situation, they go to the coach first, you know, even before sometimes they talk to the
kid. And our interim vice principal is Jim Simonelli.
Yes.
So he's there now for a
few.
So we had the other day, a kid got in trouble, and he said, do you want to run him? I said, or I'll give him detention. I said, oh, I'll run him.
I'll run.
So he ran.
Guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming down. Cos, we look forward to having on you every
Thank
year.
You.
Again, South River tomorrow night at home, and then the following Friday, a game that will likely decide the division title, home against Point Pleasant Beach. Mark Costantino, the longtime and very successful Shore Regional coach, and his outstanding senior, James Bedell, who just maybe in a couple of years will be watching as a Division I long snapper. And wouldn't that be a kick?
That would be cool.
Enjoy the rest of your senior season.
All right, thank you.
All right,
you very
guys.
Much,
thank
guys.
You so much. When we come back after the break at the top of the hour, we'll talk with Monmouth University head football coach Kevin Callahan. Still to come in hour number two, Scott Stump on the heavyweight showdown tomorrow night between Manalapan and Red Bank Catholic. You are listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Tom's River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back. We are live at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Tom's River. A couple of great spotlights in that opening hour with Jackson Memorial and Shore Regional. We make the transition, as we do this time every week, to college football as the well-rested, I would think, Hawks of Monmouth University get on the plane tomorrow and fly down to Greenville, South Carolina to prepare for Saturday's Big South opener against the Blue Hose of Presbyterian. That's H-O-S-E, as in blue hose. And as we welcome in the head coach of the Hawks, whose team is 5-1, Kevin Callahan, I'm going to put you right on the spot. The toughest question I'll ask you all night long. What exactly are the Blue Hose?
Well, very interesting. First of all, the Blue Hose is the name that Presbyterian got back when they started football around the turn of the century because they wore blue socks. And so they were first called the Blue Stockings, and then they changed that to the Blue Hose. But actually, their mascot is an old Scottish Royal Guard, this giant of a man that looks something like William Wallace with a big sword and all that. And they have their descendant from guards who were in charge of protecting the Scottish royalty. That's what I've been able to find out anyway.
I am very impressed. That was a very thorough answer. Nice job, Coach.
And Coach,
well,
you've got to
do your homework when you're playing somebody new.
And Coach, on top of it, they have proven so far this year to be not just a historic nickname, but also a pretty good football team on the field.
They're a very good team. You know, they're 3-1 against FCS competition. The lone loss coming to Coastal Carolina in what was a terrific game where. You know, it was a 7-point game well into the fourth quarter, and Coastal got a late touchdown to make it appear like they had an easier time than they actually did. They're holding teams to 16 points per game. Their other losses came at the hands of FBS teams, Northern Illinois from the Mid-American Conference, who's been to bowl games for 8 consecutive years, and then the North Carolina State from the ACC. So they're a team that's playing extremely well. They're coming off a great win last week over nationally ranked Charleston Southern. So they have a lot of confidence, and they've got us coming in there for homecoming.
Coach, first of all, before I ask my question here, congratulations on a couple weeks ago on your 125th career win. Of course, the only coach that Monmouth University has had in their history.
Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But that's just a tribute to all the great players who've come through our program and all the hard work that they've put in.
Okay, Coach, we get on a plane tomorrow at about 6 a.m. And are you taking a healthy team down there to South Carolina?
You know, I think we are. The week off did wonders for us. Guys who were held out the last couple of weeks, or certainly the last game even, are healthy and ready to go. So, you know, we're going down there with everybody that we had hoped to have, you know, with the exception of KB Asante. It's a group that's healed up and I think rested and ready to go play.
Coach, and confidence, obviously, for you guys, I would think at this point of the season, extremely high. 5-1 and some dominant performance, not just on the scoreboard by the offense putting up some major points in some senses, record-setting points in Monmouth football history. But overall, just good play from the defensive units, from the special teams. All five of those wins have been pretty complete overall wins for Monmouth.
Well, you know, well, Matt, there is a high level of confidence, and it's certainly warranted. We've played well through the first six games, and that was part of the design of the schedule, or the hope of the schedule, that we could win early, develop some confidence and gain some momentum before the bye week, and then head into the Big South, which we know is going to be a grind. You know, starting this weekend, we're going to certainly step up our level of competition, and it's going to be five consecutive weeks of that. So I think the bye was at a perfect time. Our guys are confident. They're focused because they understand how they're going to have to perform if we hope to have success on Saturday. And we're ready to go, and we're really looking forward to the trip and our first ever Big South Conference game.
Coach Cal, is there any general statement we can make about the difference between the Big South opponents you're going to play over the next 5 weeks as opposed to your opening 6 weeks of the schedule? Is it a matter of bigger programs, bigger kids, more kids, faster kids, or is it a combination maybe of all of that?
Well, it's part of that, Kevin. I think that, you know, they're all playing at a high level. It's certainly, as a conference, the league has done extremely well. 2 weeks ago, there was three of the six teams were ranked in the top 25. But, you know, you can't, you know, discount a program like Lehigh, who's annually in the FCS playoffs and in schools like that. And I don't want to discredit any of the people that we've played because they're all good football teams and they're all well coached. But, you know, now we're going into a conference play where everybody has the full complement of scholarships and has had them for a number of years. And everybody's got talent and they're deep and they can all play. I mean, we just see it each and every week as we compare scores and watch who the teams in the Big South are playing and, you know, what the results are. It's eye-opening. And, you know, we've got to be ready for this step.
Coach, from a player perspective, and I know, you know, the coaches, you guys as coaches, certainly try to monitor this as much as you can, but maybe even through the leadership, do the players have a sense of this is kind of a new and beginning of a different era for Monmouth football?
They absolutely do, Matt. Last year, you know, when we went down and played Liberty, that was kind of a preview. And they understand that, all right, what we saw at Liberty is what we're going to get for the next 5 weeks. And that's a very sobering statement. And our guys understand what we're going into. They also know that we're taking another step forward. Just like back when you played, Matt, that first class came and started football at Monmouth. Well, this group of guys is starting football on the fully funded Big South level. And they're excited about it. They're anxious about it. But they're energized by it as well.
Coach, what usually happens in games like this against, you know, top-notch opponents, the defense must step up. And looking through the press notes here, I see that in 2014, you have started every kid except for one quarterback spot has been the same player. Consistency. This team has gotten better each week.
They have, and that side of the ball, Ed, we've been very fortunate to have remained healthy and have the same guys in the lineup, and that's allowed them to develop and continue to improve as the season has gone on. And, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need a team that's seasoned, so to speak, as we head into this stretch here, and it all starts down at Presbyterian this Saturday.
Talking with Monmouth University head football coach Kevin Callahan. His Hawks will visit the Blue Hose of Presbyterian on Saturday. That is a 2 p.m. kickoff at Bailey Memorial Stadium in Clinton, South Carolina. Matt and Eddie Acapinti calling all the action right here on the Shore Sports Networks, 1160 and 1310 a.m., and of course at shoresportsnetwork.com. It is the Big South debut, first game as a official member of the Big South Conference for Monmouth. And I guess, would it be simple for me to say on paper it looks like it's really a battle of a very explosive offense against a team whose strength is defense?
I think that's fair. They're a okay. team that plays great defense, and you know they love to run the ball on offense. And you know I told our defense this morning after we practiced that we're probably going to need the best game yet this season from our front seven if we hope to keep ourselves in the game. And I'm not just saying that to pump these guys up. I mean that. I watch how these guys combination block and double team, and they're as good as I've seen. And on the defensive side, they don't do an awful lot, but what they do extremely well. And they're physical, they're quick, they play a lot of guys. And I just, you know, found out earlier today that three starters who've been out for them the last two games are all back. Two of them are defensive linemen, and then they have a running back who started the year, their best running back, who's missed the last 2 weeks, and he's back in the lineup for tomorrow, so or for Saturday. So, you know, we've got quite a challenge in front of us.
Well, six games down, a couple of bye weeks in between. The grind really begins this weekend. Five straight Big South games. We wish you all the best. Have a good trip down there, and hopefully have a good trip back with a team in a celebratory mood. And regardless, we'll be looking forward to chatting with you next Thursday. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Kevin Callahan on his way. Matt will be flying down tomorrow with the team, which means that it's just you and I tomorrow night on the high school game of the week, which,
yikes.
You know, yeah.
Matt,
wow.
Matt, you're the closest of the three of us with this team. Give me your honest opinion right here.
I think it's going to be, honestly, I think it'll be a very good football game. And I think it was described very well by the three of us and with Coach adding his comments in there as well. Presbyterian, very good football team. I watched a little bit of their game on the Big South Network over the course of the last couple of weeks. Not very dynamic offensively, but a good running game and good defense, which, you know, will keep you in a lot of football games. And for them, at least wins and losses-wise, This is a team that for the last several years has been very down, so their level of success they're having right now, I think probably has them pretty energized.
And the weather looks good for the
weather
weekend down
great.
There.
Weather
yeah.
looks great.
No excuses there.
No, weather looks great.
Sounds good. We'll take a break. Hopefully when we come back, we'll be joined by our colleague Scott Stump, and we'll go in detail on tomorrow night's heavyweight tussle between Manalapan and Red Bank Catholic, and we'll also take a look at the picks for this weekend. Because
we have to?
Well, we have to because nothing is hotter in the entire Shore Conference than Ed Sarluka, which really is hard to believe. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
By the way, I invite you to visit our website, shoresportsnetwork.com. Among the things you'll see up there are our Gold Coast Cadillac football picks, sponsored by our good friends at Gold Coast Cadillac. And what you will find is on fire for Coach Ed Sarluka, who is coming off a 22-1 week and is 109-22. He has opened up an insurmountable lead in the competition with Matt and I and Bob Batters, and of course the our digital managing editor there, the content guy, the content king of the Shore Sports Network, who's currently in the also ran column with Matt and I, and that is Scott Stump. And Scott, there is no explanation for what's happened this year with Coach Sarluka.
I actually looked real close at the Southern Toms River South film, and I think I saw Ed with the Toms River South helmet on trying to block that last-second field goal to get the undefeated week.
Yeah, if South had won that game, he would have been 23-0 and out of control. We would have never been able to live with it all week long.
Yeah, even when it came close to happening, I still was thinking about turning my phone off because at some point,
yeah.
You know, Ed is always the first one to reply to the Picks email and to let you know what his record was the previous week.
And the last to reply I know every week is Harmon, correct?
Absolutely. But Matt,
yeah.
In his defense, does have 17 jobs, so I understand.
Do I always get him in on time?
Well,
yeah.
Depends on you've pushed the envelope a little bit.
I tell them make sure every Thursday morning you send me a reminder to send me in your games.
Because again, Scott has nothing to do but remind you. Okay, listen, enough of that. I'm going to go into this segment here as saying, and I thought you documented it so well this week. The numbers 38 and 30. 38, the winning streak of Red Bank Catholic versus Shore Competition. 30. Manalapan's winning streak versus Shore Competition. These are what you called the heavyweights, Scott, and I don't think any doubt about it, this is the game some Shore fans have been waiting years to see.
Oh, I mean, this is a game I think for about 2+ years, maybe 3 years, everybody's wanted to see. RBC's been the number one team since 2011, and Manalapan's usually been right behind them in the rankings. They've never met on the field, but you know, they both kind of mutually worked it out for this schedule cycle that they did want to play each other, and now it's going to happen. You know, you got to think there could be 5,000-6,000 or more people at Count Basie Field tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is a game, possibly the biggest game in maybe the last 5 years of a head-to-head competition. And like you said, it's one. Give me a winner, Scott. Plain and simple.
I picked RBC.
Yeah.
And you know, looking at the picks, all of us actually picked RBC.
Yeah.
The question I think a lot of people want to know is it going to be a hard-fought game right down to the end? You know, a one-touchdown, two-touchdown game, will RBC handle them? You know, like a 28-7 kind of game? And that, I think, is the really interesting thing is, you know, no Shore Conference team has really given RBC a battle beginning to end in a while. I mean, they've been blowing teams out all of last year. You know, and all of this year up to this point, you know, the last time they really got taken to the brink was that Neptune team that ended up winning a state championship a couple of years ago when they took them to double overtime. But it's been a long time since they've had to go a real fourth quarter game. You know, they had a 10-0 game against Manasquan a couple of years ago, but it's been a while since someone really challenged them right down to the finish from this area.
Scott, I'm intrigued by a game of two of our top 10 teams other than Red Bank Catholic and Manalapan, that's Middletown South and Brick Memorial. You know, you've kind of got one of the top teams in A North taking it on one of the top teams from A South, which I think everyone would probably agree has most of the heavyweights within the Shore Conference. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, that's an interesting game because both teams coming off tough losses against teams that were ranked ahead of them. You know, Brick Memorial locked in with Jackson Memorial right to the end before losing to them. Middletown South losing 21-3 to Manalapan. So, and I think this is obviously mainly just huge for a playoff seeding. You know, Middletown South wants to get up there in Central Jersey Group 4, try and at least get a home game. And as Ed said earlier, that South Jersey Group 5 bracket is pretty wide open. And Brick Memorial, with a win in this game, could make a serious run and maybe a top 2 seed in that bracket. So big for them. And to me, it really just comes down to run defense. You know, Brick Memorial with the flex phone will try to get back on track after Jackson bottled them up last week. And Middletown South will also try to get their offense cranked up again after getting smothered by Manalapan. So it's really going to come down to which team defends the run better.
I'm going to jump back to RBC and Manalapan just for a second because it is such an intriguing matchup. You last week saw Middletown South at Manalapan, which was a game that on the scoreboard made it look rather easily, but statistically the game was pretty much a dead heat. In what you saw last week, did it convince you that Manalapan is more of a threat to knock off RBC or less of a threat?
It's an interesting question just because I was really impressed with Manalapan's front seven defensively, especially against the run. The big difference, I think, in this game than maybe or what RBC has had in past years is Eddie Hahn, RBC's junior quarterback. I think if Manalapan was able to just strictly load up against RBC's run game and stop their tailback,
that would be, I think that would make it a little bit easier. I wouldn't say easy, but easier. Whereas Han had such an extra dimension, being able to run out of the zone, read plays in the shotgun, and also throw the ball. He's averaging 17 yards per completion. So he, to me, is the big X factor in all of this. You know, how can you stop their run game and stop him? I think that's their biggest challenge. And I think the Elephants just going to have to do more. They're going to have to show more offensively this week than they did against South. They drove the ball really only one time down the field against Middletown South defense, and RBC's defense is as good or better than Middletown South. And, you know, the Elephants defense set up the offense in great spots at the 15 and the 20-yard line for two of their touchdowns. It's probably not going to happen against RBC, but another big area where Manalapan can kind of help equalize things is special teams. You know, they can use Mike Caggiano, their senior, to try and pin RBC deep, make them drive the field, and he's also a threat, you know, from 40 yards plus field goal-wise. So their special teams, I think, are really going to have to continue to play at a high level. They also kind of even out the game a little for them.
Scott, real quick, two other games, non-divisional games. Lakewood at Rumson and Long Branch at Matawan. Intriguing, both of them.
Yeah, the Lakewood-Rumson game obviously is huge for Central Jersey Group 2. Both of those teams are in that bracket. Rumson's a defending champ. You know, a win over Lakewood vaults them up into getting a home game or so, or puts them on track for one. And I like the matchup of Charlie Volker in the running game against that tough Lakewood defense with Detrell Reed and Amir Tyler. I think the question in that is, can Lakewood score enough points on the Rumson defense to grind out a win? I would consider Rumson the favorite there. And with Long Branch and Matawan, that's a huge Central Jersey Group 3 game. Long Branch is gunning for that number one seed. They're in the number one spot right now, so a win over Matawan would be huge for them as far as forcing teams to come to their home field in the postseason. And Matawan is right there in the middle of the pack in the 4th-5th area. So if they get a win over Long Branch, they suddenly can maybe get themselves a home game or two and surprise some people. They just scored 52 points last week against Holmdel, so maybe their offense is starting to find its stride. But the whole question is, can anyone stop Demir Willis? 5 straight games of 200-plus yards rushing for Long Branch.
Pretty impressive, and so is Scott Stump. You can read him at SureSportsNetwork.com. He's got a great preview of the Manalapan Red Bank Catholic game. By the way, a preview as well on the front cover of the new Shore Sports Network Journal, just out today, available at all Jersey Mike's locations in Ocean and Monmouth Counties, all Super Wawas in Ocean and Monmouth Counties, and I know Steve Meyer, our partner, will have them at the game tomorrow night. Scott, thank you so much. We know we will be tomorrow night. Looking forward to following you. Have a great football weekend.
Thanks, guys. I'm probably going to leave now to get a parking spot over at Camp
AC. It'll be interesting to see. Thanks, Scott. We'll see the kind of crowd they get tomorrow night. We'll, of course, be at Tom's River South for the Indians, one with Jackson Memorial. We'll have constant updates of that Manalapan RBC game throughout our broadcast. Our colleague, Mr. Harmon, will not be with us tomorrow night. We'll do our best to hold down the fort. It's tough when you lose the Joe Buck of high school broadcasting, but we'll do the best
on
we can.
On assignment?
On assignment. But we hope you have a good trip down to South Carolina. Look forward to following you on Saturday on the Shore Sports Network.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it also.
You ever been to Count Basie Field, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of parking there.
Yep. Special thanks to all our guests tonight, including the folks from Jackson Memorial and Shore Regional, Coach Callahan, Scott Stuff, our friends here at the Water Street Grill, Tom Tremblay and Ryan Drummond, doing a great job. We'll see you next week, but have a good football weekend. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.